Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. As I have been mentioning all this month, we have an incredible resource available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I wrote the foreword to this little book. It's a series of sermons by St. John Chrysostom, a series of sermons that were given in the 4th century. St. John Chrysostom was born 1,600 years before I was born. He was born in 350. I was born in 1950. But his sermons read and sound as though they were written for this very epoch in time. And as I have mentioned on a previous broadcast, if you will take these sermons seriously, these sermons encapsulated in the book on wealth and poverty, your life will be changed. And I'm not just talking about a change in this time-space continuum, but I'm talking about changed for all eternity. Remember, as St. John makes plain, this life is but a drop of water in the ocean of eternity. Well, I think it's particularly noteworthy that St. John began his very first sermon on Lazarus and the rich man on the second day of January 388. Why? Because this was one day after the feast of Saturnalia. It's a day in which the Stoic satirist Lucius Seneca fulminated something to the effect of the whole mob imbibing itself in the pleasure of hedonism. And by contrast, said St. John Chrysostom, the faithful, well, they shun the festival of Satan. And instead they partook of the cup of spiritual instruction. They fortified themselves with spiritual music, and they surrendered their souls to the breath of the divine spirit, while the rich stepped over myriad Lazaruses on their way to lavish parties, believing that Saturn would provide them with ever more and more resources, with more money, with more goods, with more properties, with more power, with more pleasure. Faithful followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ celebrated the sacrifice of the Eucharist. And as such, St. John begins his series on Lazarus and the rich man by commending his audience that though it was a feast day of Satan, he says, you, my audience, preferred to keep a spiritual feast. You preferred drinking a drunkenness of self-control. You preferred dancing in the chorus of St. Paul. You kept free of the disorderly dance of drunkards and reveled in well-ordered spiritual dances. You allowed the precious Holy Spirit to play on your souls and to breathe His grace into your hearts. He reminded them of Paul's words, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, I've said it many times before, but as contrast is the conduit to clarity, St. John Chrysostom provides us with the very stark differences between the rich man and Lazarus. Think about it. The rich man practiced luxury every day, dressed himself splendidly. He was preparing himself a more grievous punishment by doing so, building himself a greater fire, and making his penalty inexorable and his retribution inaccessible to pardon. Well, everything seemed to flow to the rich man as from a fountain. He foolishly spent his fortune on parasites and flatterers, those that would tell him exactly what he wanted to hear. And all the while, Lazarus lay wasting away in hunger. And yet, in the end, it was Lazarus, not the rich man, who was led away by the angels in triumph. While the rich man, according to Jesus, found himself in torment. As Jesus made plain, the suffering of Lazarus was not a mere function of poverty. As dreadful as poverty may be by human standards, but Lazarus also suffered such illness that he lay like a living corpse, his limbs weak and wasted by disease. On top of all of that, Lazarus was alone, which made his poverty and his sickness all the more unbearable. He lay in the midst of merrymakers, people unwilling to so much as stretch out their hand. And thus Lazarus endured his poverty in light of the prosperity that surrounded him. Think about how Lazarus was likely to feel seeing parasites and flatterers running around, shouting, drinking, tormenting his soul with the bitterest thirst. All the while, he is so near the springs of abundance. And yet, of course, so far away from those springs of nourishment, because he was not allowed to drink from those springs. No one stretched out a hand to help him. He lay there destitute and alone, people, as it were, tripping over him, over his emaciated carcass. There is so much in this parable. As St. John makes plain, no matter how much you try, you cannot plumb the depth of this parable. I mean, if you look at Luke chapter 16, the parable is short. It isn't all that many verses. It starts at verse 19, and it goes on to, I believe, verse 31, from verse 19 to the end of Luke chapter 16. It's very short. But yet it is poignant and profound. And St. John Chrysostom gives insights into this sermon that you think, wow, how could I have missed that? He takes what is in the text, he elucidates it for us, and in the process, he gives us a vision of the distinction between that which is the mask of today and that which will be the mask taken off in eternity, and the abundance, the never-ending abundance of time. Again, my purpose, and I hope to some extent I can accomplish it, is to whet your appetite for On Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom. 6 sermons available in a book. It's a patristic series. I wrote the foreword, and it is available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web, equip.org. You can also order a copy via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I am so thankful for partners that care, but I'm also focused on you in terms of equipping you for time and for eternity. We're going to be right back with more on Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom.
John Chrysostom's Christian classic On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth. To absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic, On Wealth and Poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth, and to absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. On this broadcast, I am seeking to whet your appetite for a book which is our resource of the month, the book titled On Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom. And even as I try to whet your appetite, I know that I can only do so partially, because until you read the sermons, you will realize then how poor a job I'm doing compared to the eloquence that you will get in these sermons that will radically rearrange your life if you do not just read them, but take the words and the message itself and apply it to your life, because it will make a difference for time and for eternity. Before the break, I was talking about the suffering of Lazarus, which was not a mere function of poverty. He also suffered illness. His limbs were weak and wasted by disease, and on top of all of that, he was alone. He was alone in the midst of merrymakers. He endured his poverty in light of prosperity that surrounded him. He was near the springs of abundance, and yet so far away. But all of this was but the beginning of sorrows. His reputation was slandered by the flatterers and the drunkards, who postulated that he had come into utter misery because of secret sins. These are the echoes of men and women such as Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, who castigate the paralytic who lay by the pool of Bethesda, drowning in a veritable pool of sinful and sorry excuses, at least as you hear them tell the story. A sinful product, they say, of his own pathetic negative confessions. If Lazarus had mastered the Ostentinian faith mantras, he would not have suffered. Instead, as the dogs licked his sores, he was paying the penalty of his own negative affirmations. I bring this up simply to say that the poverty of the sermons we hear in the prosperity churches today stand in stark contrast to what you will read in this book titled On Wealth and Poverty. You'll get a very different picture. But this picture is not made up. It is a portrait unveiled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The picture of a rich man who enjoyed his riches for a mere 100 years at best. However, as one dream is to 100 years, so the present life is to the future life. As a little drop, says St. John, is to the boundless sea, so much 1,000 years are to that future glory and enjoyment. What would one need to say more than that it has no limit, it knows no end, and as much as dreams differ from the truth of reality, so much this condition differs from the hereafter. For the righteous, both the life hereafter and this life provide great pleasure. But the wicked, the greedy, they're punished both here and hereafter. Did you catch that? The wicked and the greedy are punished both here and hereafter. How is that? Well, they're punished even here by the expectation of the retribution hereafter, and by the evil suspicion of everyone, and by the very fact of sinning and corrupting their own souls. And then after, well, afterward, after their departure from here, they endure unbearable retribution. In contrast, even if the righteous suffer a multitude of troubles here, they're nurtured by good hopes. They have a pleasure that is pure, secure, permanent, and hereafter the multitude of good things will welcome them just as they welcomed Lazarus. So says St. John, do not tell me that Lazarus was afflicted with sores, but consider something else. Consider that he had a soul inside more precious than gold, or rather, not his soul only, but also his body, for the virtue of the body is not plumpness and vigor, but the ability to bear so many trials. A person is not loathsome if he has this kind of wounds on his body, but if he has a multitude of sores on his soul, and then takes no heed to care for them. Such was that rich man, full of sores, not without, but full of sores within. Just as the dogs lick the wounds of the poor man, so demons lick the sins of the rich man. And just as the poor man lived in starvation of nourishment, so the rich man lived in starvation of every kind of virtue. Collecting all these thoughts in your minds, therefore, let us, says St. John Chrysostom, call fortunate not the wealthy, but the virtuous. Let us call miserable not the poor, but the wicked. Let us not regard what is present, but consider that which is to come. Let us examine not the outer garments, but the conscience of every person. Let us pursue the virtue and joy that come from righteous actions. And let us, both rich and poor, emulate Lazarus. For this reason, Christ set him before us, so that whatever troubles we encounter, we see in this man a greater measure of tribulation. We may gain enough comfort, enough consolation from his wisdom and from his patience. Why? Because he stands forth as a single teacher of the whole world for those who suffer any misfortune whatsoever, offering himself for all to see and surpassing all of them in the excess of his own troubles. So let us talk of Lazarus continually. Let us talk of Lazarus in councils. Let us talk of Lazarus at home. Let us talk of Lazarus in the marketplace. Let us talk of Lazarus everywhere. Let us examine carefully all the wealth that comes from this parable. Because when you do, you might well both pass through your present troubles and do so without grief, but moreover attain to the good things that are as yet to come. Well, I have tried my best to whet your appetite. I hope that in a small way I have, because it is my goal to put this resource into your hands. Again, 6 sermons on wealth and poverty is the title. It's by St. John Chrysostom. I wrote the foreword, and I should note as we close out the broadcast that St. John is loved by the entirety of the Christian Church, by the Reformers. by the Roman Catholics, and of course, the Orthodox call him their own. The book, again, available when you go to the web at equip.org. When you stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth, it is a battle, and it is an important battle. It is a battle that we must engage in by being equipped as Christians. You can also get your copy by going through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The beauty of the Christian classic on wealth and poverty is that by absorbing its message, you may well arrive at a true valuation of things. It is a pearl of greatest value in the treasure chest of Christian teachings. Those who absorb its message will be eternally transformed, assured that whatever your status in this life, rich or poor, you will experience the quintessence of wealth in the life that is to come. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty by John Chrysostom, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.